We're going to take up a filter dirt agreement. Renee Lyceum is from Melbourne today. Can you tell us about the instructions?
We have a filter agreement with Naomi Gray, or we'd like to get one. She wants an unlimited amount. So anything over three loads has to be approved by you, gentlemen. This lady lives on Cedric Road, and this is in the Moore Bend subdivision area. So that's going to help us in particularly that area for cleaning ditches and whatnot. It'll give us a place to go with material that we don't need.
Yeah. But you don't have to go there, but you can.
We don't have to go there, but it gives us an option.
Motion there approved.
Second. Motion's made and seconded to approve the filter dirt agreement by the Twin Tennis County Commission. Only great discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Thank you, sir. Refinancing the 2006 law enforcement judicial office. Mr. Dillingham, welcome.
Thank you very much. Glad to be with you all today. And obviously, we've worked through Mr. Finley in the auditor's office, keeping the commission informed from time to time when we felt there was maybe something significant to talk about, and vice versa on your end, inquiring from time to time, particularly around budget time. And so I wanted to get with you all and be on the agenda to talk about the opportunities that is there today. We are inching ever so closer to the date that the outstanding financing can be called in from the current bondholders or investors, which is April of 16. And so we're from a standpoint of utilizing the one allowable advance refunding in advance of that call date. We are now close enough that the cost to carry, if you will, in the escrow or negative arbitrage between the date we would refinance and the date those certificates could be called in 2016, is now shrunk enough that the savings has jumped up significantly. So with that as kind of the backdrop, if you will, I wanted to provide you all, and I think there's enough copies to go around this way to you three, and you know, I will certainly make sure the press has a summary page here. That one more there.
Yeah.
Such, and really the front page is what we'll be speaking from. The balance of the pages are the supporting numbers, which are boiled down to this first page, but I didn't want to leave behind a full set of the supporting numbers just as a leave behind. But from having an opportunity to review current financials and working through the auditor's office, looking at primarily, frankly, the unrestricted fund balance in the general fund, or the operating fund, I believe that at this point in time in the marketplace that should we apply for a new rating, that the rating on the issue would be approximately A1 with Moody's. And the reason why that's important is because obviously the rating ties directly to the interest rates. And so if we're going to show you some estimated interest rates that the refunding could achieve, that ties directly into, you know, the interest rates that financing would take, which are based on your bond rating or the ability to obtain a good rating. The issue done in 2006 was rated A3. The sizing at this time would be approximately $11 million. Now, we'll stop there because in my conversation with Mr. Finley, he says to me, well, what if we put in some cash? Just like when we all of us kind of assisted the sewer commission and so forth, and that cash pay off some of their debt.
Does Mr. Finley have some cash in issue to put in?
I don't know where he's coming up with any cash. Okay, all right. My point is simply this, that if we did get to $10 million or less, there is some benefit from an interest rate perspective. Anytime you sell less than $10 million of tax-exempt securities in a calendar year, the financing can be deemed bank-qualified. Bank-qualified tax-exempt securities carry a slightly lower interest rate because banks, commercial banks, will be more likely to participate because they're bank qualified, which means by, from the standpoint of their taxes, they get favorable treatment. And so therefore, like they say. The numbers say today the deal size needs to be $11 million. Well, if you over had $1 million or thereabouts to put in, if you get to $10 million, that'd be a little extra icing on the cake in terms of the interest rate. Maybe it would lower the total interest cost about 0.2%. It's not a deal breaker. I certainly not assumed it. Obviously, my numbers show $11 million. But the point is that at some point, whether it's today or down the road, that will be part of the conversation, in my opinion, is okay, can we, what if we paid off a little more and got to $10 million? Is there some benefit? And so that's all I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. But you got another principal payment, April 1, 2015, obviously. It's also been asking me, before we get into the details, I might as well stick with the other talking point, if you will, and that is, well, Jack, what if we refinance, could we move the principal payment date instead of being, say, April 1, could we flip it to when the other payment's made, the interest payment, interest paid twice a year, as you probably know, principal once a year, principal's in April. Principal was selected because that coincides with the sunset on the sales tax being at the, as I remember, at the end of the year in last year here of our plan of finance, 2023. So, in essence, sales tax ends. You get another month or two collections for that last revenues for the period of time that sales tax has been in effect. It comes from the Department of Revenue to you, and then you make your last payment. But if the idea is that from a budgeting perspective, it would be better to move from the month of the year of April to 6 months later or a few months later, that certainly can't be done when you refinance because it's a simple clean sheet of paper. We obviously need to have the same period of time for the sales tax, which is in effect for the source of the payment, but from a standpoint of flipping the interest payment date literally from April 1 to 10-1, for example, to October 1, we certainly could do that, and that would be maybe a side benefit, if you will. But that certainly is an option. So,
and that's important.
Okay.
It's important because, obviously, the earlier payment, the county doesn't have the money in place to pay it. Because originally when this was set up, it wasn't set up as a separate fund, as Missouri law required it to be. It was set up within general fund revenue. So what the county was doing was just drawing from the melting pot of funds and taking it out of other revenues that were coming in because the sales tax had not built up sufficiently to pay the payment. So if the payment is later in the year, it would give the fund, because we actually created the fund that they want called for, enough time to build up, or at least the majority of that payment to be made. And that's an option that makes sense.
That's why I want to talk about it now as opposed to...
Because right now we're borrowing that money from another fund.
Some of you all sitting here and having that question in your mind and being gracious enough to say, okay, let's let him have his spiel, and then we'll talk about this. So, no, I've tried to do my homework, and maybe the benefit of not meeting with you all as formal session 2 weeks ago may have been for the best, because therefore we've had an opportunity to kind of get a better perspective from the county side as to what your goals are. I mean, sure, we can talk about, okay, we can save approximately $70,000 a year through the refund. Well, that's all fine and good. You've already told us that now. Let's talk about some of the other details and how could we structure this in a way that it's more than just saving some money. Another thing, and I'll go to the third point, and that's about me. I certainly realize that from the standpoint of your all's procedures for employing people to do things for you on a contract basis, and that from the standpoint of, frankly, my industry and some of the changes there, that we're seeing more and more of a situation where the investment banking role under the professional services, if you will, is strictly in the role as a financial advisor. And that's what I am ultimately, that's my ask, if you will. Okay, Jack, you want to, what's your personal or what's Piper Jaffray's role that you're contemplating here to be? And in essence, I want to represent you all as financial advisor under a professional services contract, but in turn for us to solicit proposals or do an RFP or do a bid opening, in essence, just like you do on other things, so that we've got a competitive process to select the bank or investment firm that ultimately underwrites or purchases the refunding offering. And so I would be working as on your side of the table, if you will, as a financial advisor with fiduciary responsibilities to look out for your best interest only, not the bondholders or potential bond investors. And so therefore, we would be working on a strictly on a fee basis as an advisor. And I think that gets us to the point where, obviously, from the standpoint of the policy and practices with respect to letting a bid, if you will, and selecting an underwriter or taking sealed bids, whatever process might unfold that works best, that collectively makes sense, that we would not serve as underwriter, as we did on the 2006 issue, but rather serve as financial advisor. And I believe that we can do that in a way that still ends up with the same cost, if you will, in terms of out-of-pocket, because when you're serving as an underwriter on a typical negotiated offering, there's components to the underwriting fee. It's for the public finance work, which I would be doing, versus just the actual selling of the bonds with the salesman or the purchase of the bonds by a bank. So I believe that from the standpoint of how we can get there, taking the high road, working together, but yet at the same time being hyper-serving me, serving as your financial advisor, is how I would propose to pursue this together. Now, let's look at these bullet points and go through them, and we'll circle back around to whatever questions you have, or interrupt me and ask questions if you will as a go. So, I've hit the first bullet point, I believe, just fine. We utilize the one advance refunding that's allowable for each issue prior to the call date. We'd be refinancing the outstanding COPs that mature 2015 to 23. The average rate on the outstanding COPs being refinanced at this time is 4.1%. Right down in, kind of in the middle now of the numbers, estimated net interest cost of the assuming A1 rated refunding issues 2.30. And then in the middle there as well is the estimated savings. We're looking at total net debt service savings after all fees, et cetera, of a little over $600,000 a year, or close to $70,000 annually. When we do a present value calculation of those future savings, the net present value benefits about $570,000. So it's significant in relation to the total. This is not backloaded to where the savings all comes in the last year. We're showing an example where you get some immediate budget relief on a consistent year-in, year-out basis, which averages about $69,000. You can look at the supporting page in a moment here, and you'll see the annual estimated debt service savings annually, and you'll see that it's not jumps or doesn't jump around. It's about $69,000 annually. This net present value savings as a percentage of the refunded or the amount of debt outstanding is 4.34%. We would propose, and my opinion is that we could apply the outstanding reserve fund that's currently with the trustee, currently with UMB as trustee, which is $1.9 million. You have $1,926,000 sitting with the trustee as the reserve fund. It's invested and earning practically next to nothing, as you might expect. I say let's put that towards paying off the old debt, and that we can do the refunding issue without a reserve fund. So no reserve required for the 2014 refunding issue. As I mentioned at the beginning, this is an advance refunding. The old issue can't be called in until April of 16. But when we look once again at the supporting numbers, the negative cost to carry in the escrow from, in essence, our estimated closing date of mid-November, if you wanted to move forward at this time, to the from November 14th, in essence, to April 1, we're underwater about $340,000 in the escrow, and so that's the cost to carry or negative arbitrage that's factored into this 600 and some thousand dollar savings. I think the last time we looked at this in early April or so of 13, the numbers were kind of the other way around, where the negative arbitrage or that drag on the savings was significantly more than the estimated savings. So that's kind of a summary of the highlights of, that I wanted to point out in terms of bullet points. I'm glad to let the commission lead the discussion where it needs to go.
When you say that there's a savings on the UMB,
on that reserve,
on that reserve,
yeah, it's,
and it can be applied. Is that applied on an annual basis?
No.
Or is it applied directly that year that we do, that we?
Yes, it's applied at closing.
At closing,
yeah. It's just another source, just like the proceeds from the refunding COPs or the refunding securities that we issue.
How much did you say was in there?
It's about $1,900,000. If you go to the...
So that goes down under the 10 million?
Yes. No, it doesn't. No. I've already factored that in my numbers. So if you go to page 3. What I was thinking. There it is right there. You hit it, Ron. I think it must have been a page. A disclosure page, the second page. That's the page I wanted to look at. Sources and uses. So you can see under the sources, which are the top two numbers there in the first section, that we're showing $11,010,000 plus generating some premium to pay for costs, but I'm showing $1,009,000 transferred from the prior issue reserve.
Let me borrow you for a second. Go ahead.
And so therefore, you can see at closing, we're assuming that money is available. So we're still, you know, we've still got a significant amount of debt. I don't know if we can get under $10 million. I don't know, you know, where the idea was that you will write a check from fund balance, but if you could get $10 million or less, that would lower our interest rates slightly. So this is kind of the, I think, in a nutshell. I would lead you all on to page 4 of the supporting numbers, so that gets you to the savings pages on an annual basis. Page 4, there are supporting numbers, and the second from the right-hand column shows the annual savings. As you can see, it's upper 60, low 70s. You know, we're still about a year and a half or so away from the call date. But if you wanted to do this fall, it could be factored into, you know, setting your budget for next year. If you wait until, you know, we get into sometime in 2015, obviously you've lost the ability to take any savings next fiscal year.
I don't know where we would come up with that much funding.
Okay.
For the project, without, because we have to carry a certain amount for what is it on? Is it 3% or is it 4% or something we need to keep on hand in total revenue for?
Whatever our new revenues are, is 3% that's required.
Your fund balance policy.
Right. So you take that.
That's state law.
Yeah, I take that on the total. I don't know where Mr. Friendly come up with the extra cash money for. Maybe it's there. Maybe I haven't been shown that. But do you?
No, where the money would come from if, in fact, we chose to do that, would be to take it out of the reserve. In fact, it's potentially. I can't see where else you would have looked.
No, I think that's what he was talking about.
We can't use anything else. We could use the Prop B that was set aside in the sewer fund. I don't think that was that's an issue that we want to. I don't think we want to go there as an option.
No. He was talking about the unrestricted general fund balance, I believe.
I'm sure that's the only thing that I.
That's where I go with the percentage, emergency fund, on the percentage of what we have available. It's just not there for that. To reach that May.
Reach 10
million.
And I don't want that to be a distraction in the conversation. You know, obviously, now I'm sitting here wishing I never joined.
Because I think it's important.
2/10
of a percent.
Yeah.
It may not sound like a lot, but it is.
But oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't earn anything.
Yeah.
We're earning right now, making
millions
of dollars. Yeah,
a lot of
counties
would say, man, you're doing great.
Right, give me. We're probably looking at next year or year before, not earning any money on our line. We're paying the banks to take our money. That's the real reality that we're facing. Because they don't want our money. We're fortunate that we did that after.
Because they have to pledge money against their money, public funds, and so therefore it's costing them, and they get your money, and they go, now what am I going to do with your money?
It would be different if they didn't have to collateralize at 100% of the funds that they have. That's the law. We've got to get the law changed. And I'm talking with some of the first-class county treasurers and commissioners to head that direction, but getting something through the General Assembly is not an easy task. But it has to be done. The laws were written when the banks wanted the county's money. That we're no longer there. I'm sorry, I got off track.
But to
me, it's important to look at all the options, including that.
It's on track. I mean, you say get on track, it's on track for what we're talking about.
But he's talking about potentially refinancing where we're going to be saving approximately $70,000
a year.
Now, do you have to take that value of native arbitrage back into that? Or
no, this is all net numbers.
Right. Yeah.
Page 4 of the supporting numbers, Ron, is where the annual savings is displayed on the second from the right hand column.
Okay.
There's your net savings on an annual basis. But as I say, we need to tweak these numbers as we go. If you all want me to proceed with working on this with you in some form of submission.
Even with the $1.3 million, that would be put directly into the payment. We can't reach the $10 million. I wish you could. I was going to say I can with a 3% emergency fund.
Well,
I mean, can you give me any idea how we can do that, or is that
no? We need to work with you instead of me telling you. I need to work with you all as to whether or not that's there. It doesn't have to be decided obviously today. I'm just indicated that to be fair in the conversation. We have not assumed any cash contribution from the county reserves at all. These numbers are not assuming that. I'm just relating to you, and as Presiding Commissioner Houseman mentioned, that it's important that I do. I mean, then we kind of wrestle this to the ground at some point. We don't have to know today, tomorrow, next week, but the point is that, well, we need to make a consideration of it, and if we did do that, that would lower the overall borrowing costs a little bit. And the new way we know where the refinancing costs, we obviously want to do it. But we, at the same time, we can't bust any of your policies and requirements for cash balance. And obviously not cause you any heartburn about saying, well, that's rough here to pay Paul when we don't have to. It's a financial management decision. Certainly, maybe part of the process of going from here to there is that, okay, Jack, if you say it's going to lower our interest rate at 0.2%, show us what that means in additional savings.
And I apologize for being redundant. You have another guy.
That's right. You guys wear a lot of hats.
To me, we certainly need to look at every option that you bring for us, Mike. and I'm tickled because it looks like obviously we can save somebody.
Yeah, the time we're finally here. Yeah.
We could do that a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah, we're finally here. And I wanted to bring it to you before you got too far in your budget for next year.
We couldn't do anything when you approached us.
Well, that's right.
And
but we need to chat about this and ask them every question we can possibly ask them now when we've got him here.
Yes.
And then consult with our council.
Well, and the 10 million is a concrete number.
Yeah, the way the bank qualification law works is any issuance sells less than 10 million in a calendar year. So we're about to the end of calendar year 14. You haven't issued any tax exempt bonds or securities this year. So if we were to do this fall before the end of the year, then it's pretty safe to say that if we got this issued to no more than 10 million, you could sell bank qualified.
At an A1 rating.
That's my assumption on the rating. We obviously have to apply for a rating and go through the rating process. And that's why I've done some inquiries, frankly, on my end with the auditor to kind of see how you were doing financially and whether or not it's appropriate or what the commission can or wants to do. I was quizzing him about what is the unrestricted fund balance in the general fund, because that's one of the big questions the rating agency is going to have, because I didn't want to assume too high of a rating in my numbers and in essence get the rating back. You say, okay, Jeff, go to work, and a month from now we got the rating back and it's still A3 or it's A2, and therefore the interest rates are a little bit higher, when I knew what one of the overriding big important numbers questions Moody's is going to have is how much money is how much is in your checkbook, you know what I mean? Unrestricted. If you push come to shove, you had to write a check, how much money do you have? And so it sounded like it was a pretty significant amount of money compared to your annual budget, but I understand you drill down, you've got rainy day fund, you've got this and you've got that, and yes, if push come to shove, you could access those monies, and that's what they want to know. But yet I understand from a policy and procedure perspective, state law, etc., you've got some funds. But I don't want to chase a rabbit here on this point to the extent that we lose the ability to put your questions in for them to carry down the road now.
Okay. Whether we get to the 10 million point, we can still see a significant savings.
Oh, yeah.
The bigger savings, actually.
Yes.
Getting down to the 10 million, possibly, conceivably, that is another 2/10 of
a million. Yeah, that's the detail. These right. numbers are not assuming you issue 10 million. These are based on what you see in front of you, which is 11.
I have no doubt, and I'm sure you'd like to share that with you. Funds that will hit the mark that needs to be moved in. If the county could write a check for it, the county needed to do that. We have reserves set aside and everything. We have reserves the sewer fund will begin Flint because big projects begin in 2015. And the 3-year temporary plan or preliminary plan that we've looked at for those dollars to be spent on a couple of large projects. But my hope is that through the budgetary process, that those reserves that we have are going to stay intact. Could they be tapped if they need to be this?
That's the answer for the rating agency.
That's pretty significant.
It is, and that's why I said, okay, no, I don't think I've overestimated the rating the county would receive. And why that's obviously, once again, to be a little redundant, important to me is because that's tied directly to the interest rates we made as an assumption on what the new issue could be sold at, which ties directly to the obvious, the savings. And so I had to kind of look under the covers a little bit, make sure I knew how you all were doing financially. But that kind of led to maybe a little bit of a rabbit trail concerning, well, maybe if we put in $1 million here, we'll get to $10 million, and blah, 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 blah. Well, that's some
That's another discussion, but I had not assumed that. Now, what you did for the sewer district, which was the county commission, I guess, also at that time, in the reduction of their bonding on their...
You all and Brad from over the sewer district contacted me, and he was new and looking at things, and says, we've got some money in the sewer fund, and we've got this outstanding loans with the state revolving fund program. Can we pay that off early? And so we paid off a chunk of it with cash. We didn't refinance anything.
And off the record,